Would you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, please? Hebrews 5:11. There is a nothing like images and a laughing sound of baby that disarms us. Would you agree? You may not know the baby, but when you hear the sound or the laughing smile of baby, you stop on your track and you also smile, right? Then baby start to grow. His incomprehensible sound become changing to the words, and his wild swinging arms become more coordinated with his mind. And then more growth comes along with a new title, toddler. And then more movement. Now, he's a little boy, and he is able to carry conversation with you. And you're thinking, wow, wonders of God. But what if? What if, for whatever reason, his body is continuously growing, but his mind stopped growing? What if, this is an unfortunate situation, but think with me. What if that child's body is no longer a child, but now he's 24 years old. But his mind somehow stuck in 7 years old. So he's still acting like a little kid. It's not a pleasant thought. Unfortunately, many born-again Christians experience this kind of abnormal undergrowth spiritually. You know where I'm going with this? Let me say it one more time. Unfortunately, many born-again Christians experience this kind of abnormal undergrowth spiritually. After they get saved by the grace and mercy of God, they get excited. They come to church regularly. Every Sunday, as soon as the door opens, they are the first one to get in, they are the last one to leave. And they are excited to read the Word of God. They are excited to memorize the verses. They hang around with the people. They even spend the time with the believers outside of church. Wonderful. For whatever reason, they start to slow down coming to church. And somehow, they don't hang around with the people anymore. And they shouldn't have a problem acknowledging God, but that's not the first priority in their heart anymore. Do you know whom I'm talking about? And you might be one of them, whether you'd like to admit or not. But they said, well, I cannot pray daily. I cannot read the Bible daily. I don't have a time. But somehow they don't have a problem finding doing things what they like to do. And okay, they will show up to church once in a while to pacify God so he doesn't convict them so much. Or it's like, I did my thing, my duty, so shut up and don't bother me, God. Or some may attend the church faithfully, but their heart is far from here. They know how to do the Christian jargon, and they know how to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that kind of thing. Some of you may know those people who can say every other word is hallelujah, every other word is praise the Lord, but their mentality is stuck in the seventh age seven of the Christianity. While their body is growing up to 24 years spiritually. Whether you like to admit or not, I just described many born-again Christians' weekly spiritual status. The author of the book of Hebrews is going to show us the three marks of a spiritual immaturity as well as marks of a spiritual maturity. This morning, I wouldn't be surprised if the Holy Spirit convicts us a little too close to the home. I hope he does. I hope I get convicted. I hope you get convicted. And then we repent and do what is right in the sight of God. Amen? Amen. Really, it doesn't do any good for us to be a hearer of the words unless we become doer of the words. Let's stop and pray. Father, as we just mentioned, we don't want to remain as a baby Christian. We want to grow. We want to grow in such a way that brings pleasure to you. We want to be the one who become mature in you through your word, not swayed by the every wind of doctrines or the demanding our ways, but always seeking your ways. Father, we want to know your ways through your word. Teach us that we may grow up. Father, we pray for President Obama, for his salvation and safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the one who is deployed, and prolong their return back to home. I'm hearing more and more disturbing news in around the world. Father, we're asking you to protect our Christian brothers and sisters in the other side of the world from harm. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first mark of a spiritual immaturity is a dull of hearing. Starting at verse 11, please. Of whom? Who is whom? Melchizedek? We have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Note that word, two words, have become. In other words, they were not dull of hearing, but now they are becoming. And dull of hearing, I want you to note that those three words. The preceding discussion about Melchizedek and the priesthood of Jesus Christ is a complex one. Since chapter 7 is going to deal with Melchizedek more, we're going to leave that thing behind and so we can talk about it, study more later. Jewish Christians had advantage over us. They were born in Israel, then they grew up within the whole Levitical system. And that points to the Jesus Christ our Lord. That is where they cut their theological teeth and for long ago. And by now, their faith in Jesus Christ, mixed with what they already know, they should give them in the position of teachers of the Word of God. But somehow, they are not doing that. They should give them the capacity of to digest some meaty theologies and better and deeper Christian living. What happened to them? They have become dull of hearing. In other words, they lost interest. They lost interest in the good things of the Word of God. The Greek word for the dull in nothros, and is actually is its connotation is a lazy. It comes with the two words, no and push. In other words, that many people in Hebrew Christian church have become spiritually lazy and didn't push themselves to learn the Word of God. Did you get that? They become lazy and they choose not to push themselves to the Word of God. To find the opposite attitude from the congregation, we find the opposite attitude from the congregation of the Church of Thessalonica. So keep your finger in the book of Hebrews, go turn to the left, you will find the book of Thessalonians not very far from Hebrews. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, please. For this reason, Apostle Paul speaking, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Did you get that? Because these people took the Word of God into their heart and they believed, then what happened? It works in them. It is my hope and pray that all of you in our church would have the same attitude like people in the Thessalonian church, not like people in the Jerusalem church. So what does the laziness, and why this laziness happens? I find two reasons. Number one, some Christians become dull because they choose not to grow. This is where the backsliding starts. It's almost like many Christians think that since their eternal fire insurance is paid up by Jesus Christ, I don't have to do anything. I'm going to make my way to heaven by skin of teeth, going through this pearly gate with put the grace on each side of the shoulder and pop in. They think that they can do that. Why? Why would you live halfway carnal life and barely getting into the heaven? Listen, spiritual maturity has nothing to do with how long you've been with the Lord or how many Bible verses a believer memorized or using Christian jargon flawlessly. Understand? It has nothing to do with what you know. It has everything to do with how you comprehend, how you live. I met many Christians who've been in the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, even 30 years. They are still baby Christians. They're acting like a baby Christian. They're selfish in their ways. And then I pleasantly find some brand new Christians, their heart is growing. It is such a pleasure to see that kind of thing. Second reason. People become dull because poor spiritual habit prevents them from healthy growth. People say, oh, I'm so busy. As I said, they always find the time to do whatever they choose to do. They say, oh, I don't have a time to read the Bible, but they watch whole football game, 5 hours long. Really? And some of you, of course, those guys, it's not really 5 hours long. With all that commercial, they don't make a good spiritual habit to read the Word of God daily, pray daily. To them, God is nothing more than 911 first responder for them to call when they're in the tight corner in the disaster. God, help me. Really? Is that the only communication you want to have? There's far more. It is no wonder they fall apart and are in complete disarray spiritually at the first wave of attack from the enemy. Second mark of a spiritual immaturity is inability to share. Did you get that? Inability to share. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. As our children grow up, what do we have to tell them over and over and over when they're playing with other people, other kids? Share. You know, I found this on the internet. It was rather revealing how we think about sibling the property rules. I'm sure some of you have seen this. If I like it, it's mine. If I'm holding it, it's mine. I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had a little while ago, it's mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. Here's a good one. But if it's broken, it's yours. Not everyone is called to be a Bible teacher. They are not gifted in that thing. And it should be a yearning desire for every born-again believer to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone who does not know. But many Christians choose not to do so because they are afraid the people whom they are sharing might reject them. or ask them difficult questions. They don't know. Let me remind all of you what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. Again, keep your finger in Hebrew. Go to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, Jesus speaking to the disciples, not particularly 11 disciples, but everyone who gathered in front of him right before ascension. Make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. He didn't say, Matthew, this is your command. And John, this is for you. Only apostles, only pastors, only missionaries. It's for all of you. If you're a born-again Christian, guess what? You've been commanded by God. You understand? Do you understand? Do you understand? Okay. You said yes. What do you know? This is a command, not a suggestion from God. Ability to share the spiritual truth with others is one of the marks of the Christian maturity. You may say, well, somebody ask you a difficult question, then say, I don't know. Let's find out. Do what the Andrew did. Come and see. Bring them to church. If that person is far away from here and in a different place, tell them to go to the other church where Bible is taught. Third mark of a spiritual immaturity is a baby food diet. Second half of verse 12 in chapter 5 in the book of Hebrews. And you have come to need a milk, not solid food. And for everyone who partake only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. When my daughter told us that we're going to have a grandson, I got so excited. I promised something that I shouldn't promise. I said, I'm going to babysit that child. She took it. She said, okay, here is your child. Here's your grandkid. I kept him for 7 months. And to the point, I couldn't do a whole lot of things. I have a side job, second job. So my wife graciously took over. I learned a lot of things. First few days, it was very difficult. Because when my daughter was growing, our daughter was growing up, I was there, but I was busy working. So my wife took care of her. Now I was with this little bundle of joy, right? Crying joy. 8 to 10 hours a day. And I just didn't know how to hold that thing. And after 2 weeks, I became an expert. And one thing that I couldn't understand, how that child could eat that horrible smell formula. Have you ever smelled that formula? It's awful. Have you ever tasted baby food? It's a blend. It has a funky taste. But, I mean, he was eating that thing as fast as I could have shoveled into his mouth. Now, he's eating grown-up food. He even likes a salad. My daughter and her husband ruined him. Listen, the milk of the word refers to what the Jesus Christ did on earth. His birth, life, sacrifice on the cross, life, burial, and resurrection. The meat of the word refers to what the Jesus is doing in heaven as our great high priest, as well as what he taught his disciples and what the apostles did on earth and what they taught. Let's compare some similarity of the physical baby and the spiritual baby. There's a very good, good similarities. Number one, physical baby can go from the happy to hysterical crying in a matter of a second. Do you agree? They are happy and then something was wrong and they just their bottom lips start to quiver and it's like a really? How that happen? Listen, spiritual baby can be swayed by the every wind of doctrine. Physical baby sleeps a lot, and all the mom says, thank you, Jesus. Spiritual baby can spend much time spiritually asleep. Physical baby wants the day his way only and selfish. How many of you guys know that babies say, you know, I'm hungry 2 in the morning. If I wake up and scream, mom and dad's not going to be sleeping. So why don't I just endure until in the morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning? Any of you know that baby? I like to babysit the child. That doesn't happen. As soon as they are dirty, as soon as they are hungry, something goes wrong. Same thing. Spiritual babies expect others to cater to him or her and doesn't care about others. In other words, they do not serve others. I met somebody yesterday. She said, nope, this is what I want. Oh, sure, baby. This book of Hebrews is not a diet for spiritual babies who wants to be spoon-fed and cuddled. In this book, you will find a strong meat that demands some spiritual molars for chewing, enjoying, and growing. For a side note, public announcement for the future. We don't have a whole lot of room here. So we cannot do the things that we want to do. But once we move into the 6,000 square foot place in our own building, we will have a plenty of classrooms. One thing that I have in mind is New Believers Foundation classes. I volunteered a couple people, Paul Ostrowski, our elder, and Pat Campbell. They will teach foundation classes. It would be great. Even if you are not a new believer, but if you don't have a good foundation, you need to take that classes. It will happen before the church Sunday morning services. Just put it in the back of your burner. Verse 14. Now we find the marks of a spiritual maturity. I want you to note this very carefully. But solid food belongs to those who are of a full age. That is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses, note that, their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm not saying that spiritual grown-ups should not have a milk. We need basics all the time. That's what we stand on. That's what we have to remember. Jesus Christ's birth and all the way through the death and resurrection. We cannot negotiate that. But additional teachings of Jesus Christ we must understand. We must make a spiritual progress, not regress. And as we learn the Word of God more in depth, we need to apply what we learn in our daily lives. First one, good spiritual nutrition and challenging exercise. I've learned many things in working out. Two things stand out to me. As I'm growing older and older, it doesn't matter how much time I spend in working out, it doesn't show. I cannot gain strength, I cannot gain muscle, unless I eat well. If you do the same exercise over and over and over, and your muscle get used to it, and then you are not growing the strength. Routinely, you have to change the workout program to challenge your muscles in a way to shock them. Same goes for the spiritual thing. Our Lord knows what kinds of challenge we need in our lives. And He allows enough shock to come into our lives so that we can exercise our spiritual muscles to grow. And you're going to ask me, what are you talking about? Difficulty in your lives? Trials in your lives? And that we hate? Yeah. That's the challenges. That's a shocking program. And eating proper food is very important as well. To build the physical muscles and the strength, we have to consume a lot of protein. If you're into exercise, you have to give a lot of proteins. Also, I hate to admit this, veggies, fruits, and carbs, and fat. And some of you are thinking, oh, no fat. Oh, yeah, you need the fat to burn that thing. You cannot have a donut all the time and Mountain Dew and a Monster. And if that's a steady diet, guess what? You will be able to lift a few more weights, a few more laps, but pretty soon you're going to crash. I cannot believe I'm saying this. Again, same goes for the spiritual food. You cannot exercise your spiritual muscles and expect to face the shocking challenges if you don't have enough nutrition in your body. Your spiritual food, get this guys, only comes from where? This. That's why we emphasize this over and over and over. That's why we want to remember the Bible index, all 66 book names. And some of you are thinking, why you keep on chanting that dumb thing? It is not dumb things. Memorizing Bible verses, that's how God speaks to you. That's how we don't sin against God. Amen? There is a pastor whom I consider a very good teacher. His idea is putting the spiritual cookies on the bottom shelves so anyone can take. He's an excellent, excellent teacher. But the problem with that is if you put everything on the bottom shelves, young Christians will understand. But all the Christians get bored. There's no challenge. There's no exercise. There's not enough fruit, the nutritious food. So I don't put them on the bottom shelves. I tend to put them in the middle. That means baby Christians have to reach for it. They have to tiptoe and grab it. And the older Christian, the mature Christian, can still get it. I cannot have two different sermons, and for the one for the mature and one for the younger people. We can do that, but probably it will narrow down to different way. And people's pride can get in the way. That's my philosophy. That's my idea of the teaching the word. Put them in the middle. Second thing is a keen discernment, both good and evil. A baby put anything and everything into their mouth. Isn't that true? By the way, no extra charge. You know the flat battery, about quarter size battery? Do not laying it around, okay? No, I'm not joking. That can be deadly for the babies. I saw a news segment. A child who's about 4 years old child. I don't know why, but he chose to swallow that battery. Now he's a vegetable. He cannot even lift his arms. He's in the hospital. Somehow the lead leaked from that battery. Baby will put anything and everything into mouth. It is a characteristic of little children that lack discernment. And immature believers will listen to any preachers on the radio or TV and not be able to identify whether it is a good doctrine or not. They just listen to somebody on TV, Christian TV, thinking that, well, this guy must be speaking the truth since he's on Christian TV. Is it true? No, it's not. I saw somebody writing some note on the Facebook. She claimed to be Christian, and she's walking around with this headscarf like a Muslim. I thought, what are you trying to prove? And she even said Allah means God, so we are serving the same God. Really? Let me ask you, is that true? Is Allah God, is the same God as our God? Lacking discernment for good and evil. As we grow in the Lord through His Word, we learn to use what we learn from the Word of God in daily lives. As we apply the Word and exercise our spiritual senses, develop spiritual discernment. Guess what? We don't get to be a keen biblical discernment from the hocus pocus crystal balls. And nobody, get this guys, nobody become instant spiritual mature Christian. You don't walk into some telephone booth coming out with it like this and with the SC, super Christian. You don't fly out that way. It takes time. It takes challenges. Yes, that means you will go through a difficult time. That means you will be challenged. That means you have to get into the Word of God more. Read Word of God more. Pray more. Without that, no one becomes a super Christian. Two applications. Number one, when the Lord brings us spiritual challenges to you, guess what we need to do? Do not despise it. Whether we like it or not, God knows that we need to grow through it. I hate to admit this, but it is right. Second application. The reason why I said I hate to admit it is because I don't like pains. I don't like difficulties. I like smooth coasting. But I know that's not going to happen, right? Christian growth comes through the hardcore, gutsy perseverance of applying what we hear from the Bible and what? Obeying it.